Critical minerals are the backbone of modern innovation. They're essential for manufacturing electric vehicles, renewable energy systems like wind turbines and solar panels, advanced electronics and even defense technologies. Demand for these minerals is skyrocketing as the world transitions to cleaner energy and digital solutions. But supply is limited and often concentrated in a few regions, creating geopolitical tensions and economic vulnerabilities. Nevertheless, countries are racing to secure reliable sources, diversify supply chains, and invest in sustainable mining practice. Racers Edge reporter Thomas Kutis speaks to Associate Professor Amir Razmi Joe, founder of Mineral Recovery Research Center at Edith Cowan University, to find out more.
It is very important technically. You need critical minerals everywhere, from EVs, from magnets. Whenever you see a motion, technically you need, for example, rare earths and critical minerals. For chips, these days everyone's talking about AI boom, ChatGPT and all that stuff. So you need a specific chips, So even for this, making of those chips, we need critical minerals. So the future of the electrification and transition to green economy, it's really rely on critical minerals and rare earths.
And which industries depend mostly on critical minerals and why?
Well, defense is really rely on critical minerals. Automation and manufacturing is also very dependent on critical minerals. I'll just give you an example. We need a lot of magnets. So the magnets are used for making motors, and motors are important for creating motion and movement. You need magnets into your motors in your EVs or in the manufacturing lines.
So you mean for like vehicles?
Correct, with vehicles everywhere. And why it is important? Because the conventional magnets are heavy. They are working at larger scale. But when you add a little bit of critical minerals, let's say neodymium, it makes the magnet superpower. It just like makes the magnet superman, and that reduces the size, the footprint of the magnets, and that makes the magnets very, very strong, and that provides a lot of opportunities to use that little motors, but very strong motors for different applications.
What do you think is driving this global race to secure these resources?
Well, look, it is an ongoing geopolitical sort of movement. Everyone wants to secure the reserves and the supply chain, because it's very important. So we in Australia, we have resources. For example, we have a lot of critical and rare earth resources and reserves, but we don't have supply chain. For example, in China, they have both a good reserves and supply chain and the manufacturing line. So this is very important because, in the recent Chinese, restrictions on the export of the gallium, for example, germanium, it just makes the White House sort of very angry, and then they started to increase the tariffs. So just like because having these critical minerals and rare earths is very important for a lot of applications. So everyone wants to have a sort of access to this stable supply chain and also the resources.
Well, just going back to what you're talking about with the geopolitical tensions, has that influenced access to critical minerals?
Well, yes. I mean, the recent deal that Australia and US just signed is a good example. The recent deal that Australia has with White House around, having access to Australians' critical minerals and rare earth resources is a clear example. US used to have access to China, for example, to let's say gallium or germanium or sort of the other critical minerals, and because of the tension, China just, for example, imposed sort of limits the export of rare earth materials and products, and that creates a sort of panic through the supply chain, and that results these states and Europeans to seek different supply chain from other countries, and Australia is a good sort of source of the resources, and that's why we've been called at the White House to, you know, sort of making a deal for that access to our resources and reserves.
So I guess there would be some risks that nations would face with trying to secure a stable supply.
Yeah, there is always risk. I mean, it is because, you know, creating supply chain is not something that you can it can't happen overnight.
No, it'd probably take a while.
Yes. It takes a while, and it takes, you know, you have to go through the process, and particularly in countries like jurisdictions like Australia, we have a very tight environmental regulations. So this sometimes exacerbates the situation, because you have to follow all the guidelines and regulatory frameworks to make sure that and that adds extra cost to the protection, to the production of the materials. Whereas we don't have too much time, so the global supply and demand is very volatile these days, and everyone needs to have rare earths. So if we cannot provide them, they will go other places. So there is a golden opportunity for us to be a part of the game and global supply chain. Of course, we have to consider the environmental regulations and make sure that we are doing it sustainably. But with the current sort of practices and bureaucracy, it's going to be challenging.
Well, let's just go on to that part about the environmental challenges, because the mines are considered a polluter and an emitter. And I was talking to someone who was mentioning about that we should have a carbon tax. What do you say to that? Do you think we should consider those ethical problems? And what do you say to a carbon tax?
Yeah, I think it's very... Just give you an example before I get to your question. So if you want to produce lithium, you know, Australia, particularly Western Australia, is very rich with lithium, right? Hard rock, sort of ore. So if you want to produce lithium chemical from hard rock resources such as those in Western Australia, so technically we produce 16 tons of CO2 for 1 ton of lithium, right? And for rare earths, for example, for nobidium in China, that goes to 70 to 80 tons of CO2 per 1 ton of chemical. So it's not very clean. So the problem is that if you consider the carbon tax or any sort of things, it adds extra cost to the production. So technically, the reason that we have all of those products which has critical minerals and rare earths relatively cheap, because in other countries and jurisdictions they are producing the chemicals at low cost, but they, of course, the implication would be in the environment. If you want to do it in Australia, then it's going to be sort of challenging to meet the market. So, but what would be the solution? I think my understanding is that the solution is we should invest in advanced technology. So that's probably government can help a lot.
So do you think AI should be one of those technologies?
100%. AI, it helps a lot from the mining, extractions, purification, and chemical conversions. AI can help all across the supply chain, and it also can help accelerating the technology developments, developing green technologies which meets the environmental regulations and also satisfying the conditions of the productions sustainably, and also produces at low cost. It has, but definitely these things need a lot of investment in R&D and also the culture, creating an environment to support the entrepreneurs and high tech, and open our borders and our doors for investment in these advanced high tech green technologies.
So how can countries balance resource extraction with sustainability goals?
The easiest one is the dig and ship, you know. But is this something that we're going to do? Probably not, because we used to do it for steel. We ship a lot of our iron ore overseas.
Oh, okay.
If you wanted to do it, okay. Yeah. So technically, if you want to do it sustainably in Australia, so there's two things. One is the mining of the resource. You know, it goes through the traditional mining of the resources. The other one is converting the concentrate to the chemical, which has a lot of add values. Because that's a chemical process, it's not the mining process, it's a chemical process. And because chemical processes are pretty much well-established industry, so we can bring those green chemical processes technologies into Australia rather than just digging and shipping. We need to add bring the green chemical processing technologies into Australia as well. And that, of course, requires investments and removing the red tapes and also reducing the bureaucracy.
Many discussed a topic about recycling. Is that an option or not so much, do you think?
Look, recycling is important, but it's a discussion for future.
So sustainability and recycling is not the option here, is what you're saying.
It could be an option, but you know, for recycling, you need to have enough. Let's say if you want to recycle lithium-ion batteries, right? We don't have enough batteries. We don't have enough feedstocks.
No.
Yeah, this is important, but maybe, you know, in 15, 20 years down the track, if you ask me the same question, I would say, yes, we need to do recycling. But now, because we don't have too much of feedstocks at the moment, yes, in 10 years' time, a lot of these electric vehicles batteries needs to be replaced. Then we are started to getting some sort of feedstocks for recycling. The other issue is the current technologies for recycling needs to have a significant developments, because recycling of the, for example, batteries are not very clean. You have to use a lot of reagents, a lot of acid sometimes, a lot of chemicals, a lot of electricity that produce a lot of CO2. So that's another issue. So even if we have enough feedstocks, the question is, do we have green recycling technologies? And the current answer is very hard to say yes at the moment.
Associate Professor Amir Razan Joe, founder of the Mineral Recovery Research Center at Edith Cowan University, speaking to Race's Edge reporter Thomas Kutis and ending that report.